Good morning again. Ryan echoed what Ryan said. It's good to be here this morning. Of course, we just finished up with the week of revival, and you know what? I praise God for the week that we've had down through it, you know? Now, we've seen people saved, amen? We've seen people brought closer to the Lord. We've seen people, you know what, that like rededicated their lives and just the different things that went on down through the week, and I praise Him for it. If you weren't there during the week, you know, we learned that you have to give Him the pole. Is that right? We have to learn we had to give Him the pole. You know, we learned that, you know what, there's times we can be high-centered in our lives. Amen? There's times, you know what, whenever we're talking about, you know, the one that was born to four, you know, there's times there's those that are born to four. You know what, whether it's faith or grace or whatever it may be, you know what, there are times in our life. You know, one time we were just like we were blind. We couldn't walk. There were things in our spiritual life that we needed. You know what? Praise God. He got us through it, did He not? And you know what? We learned that we need to keep the fire going. Amen. This week of revival is over with. You're right. What that part of it is. But you know what? Revival should not be over with in your heart this morning. It should not be over with. I praise God that, you know what, that fire will continue in your life. And that, you know what, you'll continue to grow and grow closer to Him, because that's what He's wanting us to do. That's what God wants us. That's what the Lord wants us to do, is to continually grow closer to Him. If you would, I'm going to be in Acts, the second chapter this morning. And I'll get to it here in just a little bit. I'll read the scripture. Acts, the second chapter. We're going to start with about the 41st verse, so you can get down to that point of it. But you know what? A little history lesson for you. Way back in 1985, actually on April, on April 23rd, 1985, the Coca-Cola company did something that would almost destroy their brand at the time, by the way. They did something that I don't know if any of you remember this or not. They offered up New Coke, and they took the old formula off the shelf. Do anybody remember that when that happened? Uh-huh. If you're a Coke drinker, that was almost blasphemy right there, right? It was largely considered the greatest, and I want you to understand, it was largely considered the greatest blunder in corporate U.S. history at that time. Coke at that point was the number one selling brand in the land. And after about 40,000 letters, being flooded with countless phone calls and a bunch of letters back in, there wasn't email, there wasn't Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff at the time, but after being flooded with a lot of different stuff, sales plummeted, people quit drinking Coke by the millions, and it wasn't 3 months later, on July the 11th, the company backtracked. And they brought back Coke. They brought back the original formula of Coke and brought it back and put it on the shelves. Such was the news that Peter Jennings, get this, interrupted General Hospital, of all things, to announce that Coke was bringing back the original formula. It was a bad move by Coca-Cola. I will say that. The original formula, they brought it back. At least, you know what? And praise God for that, I guess, if you're a Coke drinker this morning. Folks, I believe the Coke executives did this, who thought that they knew what was best in changing that recipe. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, Christianity has done the same thing down through the years as well. Amen? You see, every once in a while, we want to take the original recipe of Christianity that has worked so well for over 2,000 years and replace it with something new and better. And I can go on and on and on. And it never works. It never works. And it will never work. You know why? Because it hurts our brand when people do that. And you'll hear people start saying things like this. What's wrong with the church? What's wrong with the Christians? What's wrong with the church? There's no power in the services anymore. Lives aren't being changed, and people's lives aren't being changed. And you know what? I believe that there's not power in so many churches today. Why do I believe that? Because we, just like Coca-Cola, have thought that we can change the original recipe. We thought that we could do it. Sean, we thought we could do it better. We thought that there must be a better way to do that. There are people on the outside of the church looking in whenever we do this kind of stuff, And you know what? They don't have a very, very favorable opinion of the church. There's a lot of people out there like that. You know what? Some of it justified, some of it not. I can tell you that. But I'm here to tell you more. But I feel the biggest reason that some people look on the church in that way is because that we have tried to change the formulas down through the years. What is the main ingredient in the formula? What is it? I can tell you right now, it's because the church and the people who attend them, they try to change it. And you know what else? Let's look at it. Let's read our scripture this morning, then we'll have a word of prayer. Look at Acts, the second chapter, beginning with the 41st verse. And then they that gladly received the word were baptized the same day and were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow. I mean, you look at that and you think about that. And were added 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And I will get to the apostles' doctrine here in a little bit. And fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and get this, and had all things common. Go down the road to another church down the road and see how much they have in common with us. Go to another church over in Ripley and see how much they have in common with us. That wasn't the way then. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread and house to house did their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Guess what else they did? Praising God and having favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the church such as he should be saved. Amen. Before I pray, I want to tell you something. Listen to me. You go to churches today sometimes. You want to see the growth. It's because people come from other churches. It's not the lost being saved so many times. Am I right? I'm not putting that down. I'm just telling you, as added to this church, such as would be saved. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to thank you, Lord, for all your blessings that you bestowed upon us, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for the message this morning. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd go with each and every one of us, Lord, this morning. I pray, Father, that we would always look to the original message, Lord. Always look to it, Lord. Hold it dear to our hearts. Everybody, every soul that's represented here this morning, I pray, Lord, that we would do that, Lord. And not be like they were back there with that product. That, Lord, that they just wanted to change it. And, Lord, just for, and Lord, the disaster that happened, Lord, I do not want that with the Christian church, Lord. Because we need to stay with the original message. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Folks, you want to know how that the original church, the main ingredient in it, and you know what it is. If you would turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew 16, let's begin with verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And saith he unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Can I stop right there and ask you a question? This has been said countless numbers of times. Who do you say that Jesus is? I'm asking you that are here this morning, who do you say that Jesus is in your heart this morning? I look about this church this morning. I see the people that's in here. And that question goes to you as well as me this morning. Who do I, Dave Long, say that Jesus Christ is? He asked that question. It goes on to say, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Listen to me. Listen to me. He wasn't talking about building the church on Peter. We all know that. We know that. He was talking about the about what Peter had just said in the verse before. And you know what? And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I'm here to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, the main recipe where sometimes the churches are getting it out of, and you wouldn't think they are, is the message of Jesus Christ. Amen? That right there will save souls. That right there will turn people's lives around, is the message that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Is the Son of the living God. If you do not believe that, if you do not comprehend that, if you're here this morning and do not believe that with all your heart, I beg you to come to this altar this morning. I beg you to come to this altar. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen to me. You know what? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." John 3:16, you all know it. Say it with me. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that said, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life." Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given whereby men must be saved." On that truth, Jesus said, "I'm going to build my church." I'm talking about church with a big C. I'm not just talking about Drift Run. I'm just talking about all the churches down around the area. I'm talking about the church that He established with His own blood. Amen? The people of the early Christianity totally believed that. I'm not so sure, and please don't count me as judgmental, but you by their fruits you should know. I'm not so sure that all the churches today believe that He is the true Son of God. Amen? I don't believe that. And I believe they varied from the original recipe. And you wonder why. You wonder why. Ed, you wonder why the churches have no power today sometimes. We wonder why. They believed Jesus was the Son of the living God. That was the catalyst that they used. That was the main ingredient that they had to stand upon. You know what? Jesus, born of a virgin, they believed it. They got it. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe He was born of a virgin? Amen. 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 He lived and taught for some 32, 33 years in that neighborhood right there. He died on a cross. We know this story. He was buried and rose the third day, praise God, and was seen of people for 40 days, and then was seen ascending into heaven. Praise God. Those people got it. You say, "Well, they seen it, preacher." My Bible tells me this very specifically, and it's for you and me both. You know what? Blessed are them that have not seen yet believe. That's us. That's us. You know what? If you're here this morning, just because you never seen it, pray God, I'm going to tell you what. When I got saved, I seen it with spiritual eyes. How about you? I knew that the Savior lives, and I still know that He lives today. No variation from that. No variation from that whatsoever. Praise God this morning. Philippians 2:9. "Wherefore God has highly exalted Him and had given Him a name which is above every name." Say that name with me. Jesus. 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 There's something about that name, as the song says. And you know what? There's something about that name here this morning. Praise God. It is Jesus. You don't have a recipe without the main ingredient, do you not? You ladies that cook, you know that. If you're cooking apple pie and you don't have apples, you don't make apple pie, right? If you're talking about Christianity this morning, if you do not have Jesus, you don't have nothing. Amen. You do not have a thing. You do not have nothing if you do not have Jesus. Way too many churches have tried. They have tried to make Christianity without the main ingredient. Let's put together self-help seminars. Let's just do that. Or let's let the preacher write a book about psychoanalyzing people. Let's have the preacher do that. Or write a book about how Christians should be more sympathetic to the human condition. Listen, there is a book that has been written about the human condition. There is a book that has been written about, you know what, psychoanalyzing people. And it's right here in my hands this morning. Praise God, you know what? But it's already been written. No matter what they try to say or try to do, I'm here to tell you this morning, from Genesis to Revelation, God dealt with the human condition. And He seen how bad the human condition was, and He made a way. Praise God this morning. He made a way. And that way is Jesus Christ. Folks, Jesus is the main ingredient for the cure to sin. Amen? That's what He is. He's the main ingredient. If you don't preach Him, all the self-help seminars, all the psychoanalyzing, all the human condition will never change. Why is there no power? Why are we not seeing churches moved and you know what, and different things? It's because we've taken the main ingredient out of it. He's absolutely the key. Amen? He is absolutely and positively to the key to everything if you want to see the power of God start moving in churches and stuff. Another ingredient I believe is love. And I believe it's been misconstrued by the churches as well. Luke 10:27, Jesus told us this. He said, listen, said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment, He said. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And you know what else He said? This is very telling. And on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Folks, if we don't love, shut the doors. Amen? If we don't love, if there's not love in your house, if there's not love, you know as well as I do, if there's not love in your house, how long will a house last? How long will a home last? It may be a house, but it won't be a home. There has to be love. And He said on these two commandments, that you love the Lord God with all your heart and that you love your neighbors yourself, hang every law, everything. You can take it all and wrap them up in those two things right there. That's what He said. There should never be a group of people, and I want you to understand this, there should never be a group of people more compassionate, more loving than Christians. Amen? Amen? There should never be. There should never be. You want to put a barometer on your life and on the church's life? Read 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in what? He abideth in death. Amen? You want to put a barometer on the church? You want to put a barometer on your life? Do you have love for the brethren? Huh? Do we have love for them? You know what? You want to talk about getting away from the original recipe? Listen, I believe we do it quite often. You see, the original recipe had nothing to do with robes. It had nothing to do with style. Had nothing to do with institutions. Had nothing to do with denominations. Had no boards or trustees. Listen, no choir, no church buses, and no fellowship buildings. Amen? Original church had none of that. Why? Because you know what? They had one simple message. They had one simple message. Their leader had died and went on, and he left them with a message. The original people was a group of people who had unconditional love. You know what unconditional love is? Did you ever look up the meaning on that? Is caring about the happiness of others without any thought for what we might get for ourselves. That's unconditional love. When's the last time? You know, what a wonderful, wonderful world this would be. As that song says, what a wonderful world this would be. If we would go by that, unconditional love, where Sue, I thought about your happiness over mine. Husbands and wives, what if you thought about the happiness of your spouse over yours? That's unconditional love. That's unconditional love. And Jesus is saying, listen, unconditional love is where we think of the happiness of others. Church, we think of the happiness of others over our own happiness. How many of us do that today? I mean, this is serious stuff, is it not? Those early Christians seen how Jesus loved unconditionally. You know what? Jesus loved the unlovable, did He not? Yes, He did. He loved those who the world thought were unworthy of loving. Jesus loved them. Man, I'll tell you what, I think too many cases today, the church world has gotten away from that. We've gotten away from that. Another, you know, something else too I want to talk about is over in Acts 2:17. If you would turn back over to Acts 2:17, if you wouldn't care, please. You're probably over there close to it anyway. And it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And then on down in there, also, I want to read something else here just as soon as I find it. Acts 2:37, it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The convicting power of the Holy Spirit, the moving of the Spirit. John 6:44 says, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Folks, too many today have not let the Holy Spirit have its way in churches today. I'm just here to tell you, it doesn't happen in so many churches. How do you say that? Well, first off, they come in, they have everything's wrote out for them. Everything's laid out for them. The preaching's already been set maybe weeks and months in advance. You know what? Lord help you if you want to stand up and testify because they don't want to let you testify. Lord help you if somebody sings outside of those people who are scheduled to sing. You know what? We've made time for everything else, but we need to make time for the Holy Spirit to move. There's no room for the Holy Spirit to work. There are churches that would never ask for testimonies. I'm telling you, they never would. Because they are, why? Because they are absolutely afraid that somebody will stand up and give a testimony. Amen? They're afraid someone, yeah, I am mindful. Listen to me, folks. This preacher's mindful of time constraints. I really am. Don't think that I'm not. But I'm here to tell you, if the Holy Spirit's moving, let it roll. Amen. Let it roll. Church service goes over some. Let it roll. Praise God. You know, we get so stuck. If you're constantly, forgive me, Lord put it upon my heart, if you're constantly worrying about what time it is, you need to get to the altar. Amen? If you're constantly worrying about that, you need to get to the altar. I'm telling you folks this morning, listen to me. You know, I'm not talking about somebody to worry about once in a while. I'm talking if you're constantly worrying about it. Prayer. I'll tell you something else that's needed. Prayer is needed in the original recipe. That's what it is. The early church was a praying church, a praying people. 2:42, and they continually steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. I'm glad we have a time for prayer in our church, aren't you? I'm glad that there are people stand up here and they ask you if you have anybody to pray for. Thank God for that. I thank the good Lord for that. You know what? The power of any church is in its prayer warriors. That's where it's at. I'm not talking about somebody that stands up and gets some long-winded prayer. That's all I'm talking about. I'm talking about you that will go home and get on your knees and pray whenever even no one's looking. They don't even need to know it. And you're praying for the church. You're praying for the pastor. You're praying for the people of the church. That's a prayer warriors right there. The Bible even talks about one time. It talks about those that, you know, folks, it talks about the one member. He said, don't stand up and give some long-winded prayer and something where it sounds good. That's not what it's about. He's talking about those that have power in their heart to get a hold of God's ear. Amen? And there are people like that. I know there are. There are people in his church. I can feel it. Remember the early church knew that? Remember whenever Peter was in prison? But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And guess what? He was laying down there in between the guards and the angel of the Lord come in. He got Peter, smote him on the side. Peter got up and his chain fell off and Peter walked out of the prison. Remember what happened next? This has always amazed me. He went to the house and knocked on the door. The girl comes to the door and she looks at him and said, she goes back in and tells her, well, Peter's here and he's still outside. And they said, oh, you're lying. And again, he continues to pound on the door, and they go and open the door, and there's Peter standing right there. Praise God. Why? Because you know what? They believed in prayer. And we should, folks, I believe wholeheartedly the biggest reason, one of the biggest reasons the church is losing its power is because we have lost our prayer lives. We've lost it. Folks, where is our prayer life? Have you talked to God lately? I'm talking about talking to Him like I talk to my wife. Love you, hon. I love Him. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's talking to Him like I would talk to Sean. Talk to Him one-on-one. That is what prayer is about. Let Him know your petition. Say, God, you know what? Here's Dave Long again today. You know what? I failed you yesterday, Lord. You know, please forgive me of that, Lord. And help me to be better today. And Lord, help me to, whatever you have for me, give me someone to talk to today, Lord. Talk to Him like that. In the original recipe, people poured out their hearts to God. You know that? They did. They depended solely on God. They depended solely, and God answered their prayers. Why do we not have power anymore? It's because we've forgotten how to get on our knees and really pour out our hearts to God and depend totally upon Him. Oh yeah, we live in a blessed nation, all right. We really do. I'm not saying that. The brother said it's got so blessed that we've stopped depending on God. Yes, we have. You asked our grandfathers. If your grandfather's still around, you asked the people that you knew years ago, and they'll tell you how it was. They depended on God. They depended on Him because that's what they had. Praise God. I want to tell you something. Drift Run Church is a novelty, and I'll be quite honest with you. I thought about this whenever I wrote these notes down. Drift Run Church is a novelty in the sense that we've grown where other churches haven't. You say amen? We have. It's not because of me. It's because of you. Do you understand that? It's not because of me. It's because of you. Because of you folks that get it. You know what it's about. You know what it's about to pray because it's not about the building or the name that it's above it. You stuck to the original recipe. Amen? We haven't went out on a limb. We haven't started down some path where you say you got to do this or do this to be saved. We haven't done that. And I hope and pray we never do. Because the original recipe tells us right over here, if you turn to Acts 38, verse 38 of 2nd chapter of Acts, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That was the original recipe. That's all that it took, Jamie. Repent with a contrite heart. Repent in sincerity. When you repent, God will answer and save your soul. And I believe once you get saved, you need to find a water hole somewhere and get baptized. Amen? And I believe the Holy Spirit of God will be with you the rest of your life. Amen? That's the original recipe. We start straying from that, that's when the churches get in trouble. That's when they get in trouble, and that's they will stay in there. 1 Peter 2:9-10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. How many of you have been called out of darkness? Is that right? If you've been called out of darkness, you are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Man, you should be shouting this church down because of that. That's what the original recipe did. You know what? The word for church, if you go back where I read it over where Jesus said, whenever Peter said, upon this I will build my church. Do you know what that church meant there? It wasn't a building. I didn't know what that meant. It wasn't a built what that meant. That meant that the church would be within us, Patty. That's exactly what that meant. All right. How do we convolute that down through the years? How do we do that down through the years where we made it like it's all about the building? It's not about the building. It's about Jesus Christ living in your heart. Praise God. You know what? The original recipe. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Father Jesus Christ. And He said, you can be baptized. And He said, now I will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the original recipe. That's it. That's all it's about. And praise God, you know what? We understand that here. I know that. But we need to keep that at heart. Which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Drift Run Church, let us never change the original recipe. Let us never do that. And I'll tell you what, I believe let's let God do His work. Amen? Let God do His work. Say, come get us all.